When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair on my head, not my shoulder.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bull, the Fountain of Truth. Well, let me ask you something. Do you have a clue? Well, you should. And we have 101 clues for you. It is 101 clues for something very, very elusive for many of us, no matter how long we've lived. And that is 101 clues to a happy life. How to become a better partner, parent, and person. So I got a lot of P's there. So maybe I am using my plosives for you, but I'm going to say it again. How to become a better partner, parent, and person. And we have with us today the author of that intriguingly titled book. His name is Alex Becker, and he's a man of many parts, let's say. I'm going to give you just a little smattering of who this man is. He is a PhD, so we're talking to Dr. Alex. He holds 11 patents. He talks about, well, there'll be more and more patents going on. I'm assuming that it has to do with robotics, technology, AI, et cetera, even cryptocurrencies. But the fact is that that's not what we are looking at and focusing on today. He was named among the top 100 MIT alumni in technology. His seminal papers on COVID and sunlight and vitamin C are probably something you're doing right now or responding to right now, even if you don't know it. And he is also one of the patents and inventors of Qless that helps you stand on fewer Qs. And if you were from England, you'd know that means lines. And many other things, including drones and so on. But one day, Dr. Alex decided to go to Africa. And he was concerned what was going to happen to him. And he had a family. He was worried about it. So what could he impart to make sure that his family, particularly his kids, had the clues to a happy life? And he did that. I kind of call him the modern day Lord Chesterfield with his letters to my son. But it spiraled into something that we could all use and a wonderful book that's coming up. So, Alex, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me, Adrienne. It's a pleasure.
Well, let's talk about the impetus first. You do say that you were going away. You were concerned a little bit about your this expedition, and it was your motivation. And the reason I want you to talk about that is a lot of people listening are motivated to have a life review, to give their wisdom, but they don't do it. But you actually did it. So tell us what that motivation was about.
Well, it helps to have a deadline. And so my deadline was when I have three children, and in March of last year, the eldest one turned 21 and the middle one turned 18. And so those are the thresholds for, a semi-independent and a fully independent life. And so it was then or never. And so that was my deadline. So I made sure to have the book ready when they had their birthday, which happens literally within a week of each other. So the final trigger, the threshold. I wanted as they left for college, to have, there's so many things that we learn late in life. And, I wish I had learned earlier. And it takes a lifetime to learn, how to live life fully and best and happy. And I wanted to pass that on to my kids so they had a leg up on life.
And, one of the things that we talk about on this show is life review. And this is something that people tend to do as they get older, sometimes verbally, many times in writing. And you did this in writing. And one of the things that's so fascinating, I want to get to that Africa trip in a roundabout way, is that this is a book filled with very practical clues. It's 101 clues. Some of them have to do with what happens if you get a traffic ticket. And others have to do with really what is wisdom about and how not to be fearful. So it's quite a book. But one of those things is your travel life, even how to get paid to travel the world. Now, give us a little bit of a clue on that particular issue in this book.
Sure. I love traveling. It's one of my favorite things to do in life. I feel like you get to live somebody else's life when you're traveling for a short bit. So I've been to 72 countries so far. My goal is to see them all. In fact, my last company is centered around that very problem. So I'm the co-founder and CEO of a company called Drizzt, and Drizzt is a name we invented to for a drone visit. Right. So if you ask most people what are your top favorite things to do, most people will put travel among them. And they will put other things such as, you know, spending time with their children, music. Then you ask them, how much time do you spend doing each of those? And say, well, I see my children most days. I listen to music most days. I travel once, two times, three times a year. So there's this huge disconnect between how much people like to travel and how much they actually travel. And so what we've done with Drizzt is create a platform that allows people to use a drone anywhere in the world and take off with it, you know, with it remotely from their armchair, anywhere from their phone or computer, to see any place in the world without having to leave home, but really actually see it in real time and fly around and go wherever they want to see. So that's one of the things that came from my love of travel. The question you asked is, you know, how do I get paid to travel the world? That comes through a wonderful invention of modern day, which is these platforms such as Airbnb and VRBO and Booking.com that allow you to rent out your house while you travel. There's even one called Love Home Swap that allows you to swap your home for somebody else's. So, for example, yesterday I got a request from somebody in Iceland who would love to visit California and asked me whether I'd wish to swap with their home in Iceland. And because the U.S. has such a high, I mean, it's relatively expensive compared to most of the world, you get to rent your house at California or U.S. values and live like a king almost anywhere else in the world during that time. And so that's a way that you can literally get paid a profit plus all expenses while you travel the world.
So it's a wonderful hidden tip. And we're talking to Alex Becker, 101 Clues to a Happy Life. And we're talking about something that hits the spot. I'm going to put this in context for a minute, Alex. We don't know each other, except that I was so excited to interview him about his new book, which is coming out. It'll be available on Amazon. So you heard it here first. And it's really worthwhile tips that will change, that can change a life in a very practical way. But we have a lot in common, Alex. I've been to 97 countries. See, I trumped you, but that's because I'm much older than you. So you'll get there and beyond. And I also get paid to travel, and I teach people how to do that by becoming a travel writer. So it's a little different. But I live in Palm Springs, where everybody does what you say. Everybody rents out their home, sometimes for $3,000 to $5,000 a month because you're in a resort area, and swaps it for worldwide travel. I will also say that you should know about Drizzt if you are listening to me and you're in the field of elder communities. Because I very much am in favor of virtual reality of all types, and this is a very advanced type, for people who are in any kind of a situational confinement. And we've talked many times, Alex, with people who have created the virtual reality for senior communities, because one of the things I never want to do is stop traveling. And even if I have to sit there and travel, I will do that. So I congratulate you for coming up with that. Now, when we come back, yeah, I mean, this is a huge breakthrough for not just the casual traveler, but for people who loved all their life to travel, and for some reason, they can no longer do so. So we're going to come back with some of the other things that this man, who really is a scientist, a leader in technology, an award winner on so many levels, has decided to tell his family. And some of those things is how to deal with jealousy and fear. How to use words alternative to I'm sorry. All the things we talk about when we talk about wisdom. A moment ago, I was just listening to a wonderful conversation on aging through Encore.org. And what they talked about was how much words matter and how much you can change your life by changing just one word. When we come back, we're going to get some of those great works from Dr. Alex, 101 Clues to a Happy Life. Write it down, how to become a better partner, parent, and person. Coming up soon. Don't you guys go anywhere. We'll be right back.
All of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da. Thank you. When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair on my head, not my shoulder.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Adrian Berg, and this is Generation Bowl, the Fountain of Truth, and we are going to give you a clue, even if you don't have a clue. 101 Clues to a Happy Life. We're here with Dr. Alex Becker. And you will become a better partner, a better parent, and a better person, all because Alex was inspired one day to meet the deadline of his children's birthdays, age 18 and 21, and said, it's now or never. If I'm not going to, as they emerge into adulthood, give them the wisdom that I've accumulated, when will I ever do it? And he's written this book that has become something of a phenomenon for everybody, not just for the kids. Before we go back to Alex and talk about some of the things that have to do with jealousy, fear, how to say I'm sorry in a better way that he's wanted his kids to know, I very much want to tell you about our upcoming webinar. And that webinar will be in March. We don't have the exact date, but it will be this month. Please go to adrianberg.com and simply in the contact section, give me a yes. You want information about this webinar. It's called Three Keys to Successful Aging, How to Be Healthier, Wealthier, and More Fulfilled as You Live Joyfully and Fearlessly. So this is the bridge I want to make now between myself and the guest. So right here, Alex, on the list that we have of some of the hints and tips that I thought was so important was how to deal with jealousy and fear. And I'm interested in the fact that they're both words are in the same sentence, as well as how to deal with them. So what are you telling your kids about that?
Sure. So they're both different. So let's deal with each one in turn. Jealousy is a word that I think we should eliminate from our vocabulary because our words shape our thoughts and our thoughts shape our lives. And so jealousy is really another word for saying that you care about somebody enough, that you get jealous, when somebody else perhaps is interested in them. And, you know, that can be turned into a positive rather than a negative. And so I think if you just take away that word from a vocabulary and focus on what you have, and, you know, not on whether you can lose it, not on whether, you know, somebody else can have, it's just about focus on the love that you have. That is a positive to focus on rather than, you know, sort of the negatives or absence that comes from implied jealousy. So that's jealousy in a word. Fear, I like to say that fear is a liar. I brought that up in a board meeting once and it sort of became a topic of conversation. Fear is just not a good guide for decision making. First, when you're afraid, your neocortex, which is a part of your brain required for insights, shuts off. Second, most things we fear never come to happen. So why worry about them to begin with? And thirdly, fear won't prevent them from happening. So the best thing to do is to stay calm, worry about things only within your control, and then navigate life for the best available outcome.
You know, I think it was Mark Twain who said, many terrible things have happened to me in my life, some of which have actually happened. Because we get so scared. And of course, this is a very big part of aging. You know, this is a show about aging and successful aging. And one of the things that that makes us unsuccessful in aging is the same thing you discussed in your boardroom, which was we shut off our insights and our ability to have instincts and make good decisions because we're afraid. And by the way, one of those things is where we're going to live. We get so scared to move out into the world or even to travel, the way you said, Alex, because of that we limit our life and it looks like aging is causing the limitations, but it's not. It's our reaction to things that is causing the limitations. So let's talk another thing about your book, which, by the way, will be on Amazon very soon, and you should pay attention to when that comes out. And I will send you in our information when this is happening. Alex will alert me. And that other thing is being invisible. One of the things that we worry about as we age is we disappear. People don't see us anymore. It can be also even sexual, physical. You'd walk by and they don't know you're there. But you teach your kids how to get anyone's attention. And you certainly have gotten a lot of attention with your your patents and with your recognition at MIT and many other things. How do you get people's attention? I'd like to know that myself.
Yeah, that's a great question. So I have found that I can get any Fortune 50 CEO or busy to respond by using sort of the series of tricks. The first one is a catchy headline.
Okay.
The second one is getting the right time to send it. So, for example, overachievers tend to I like to write to people on Sunday mornings, and that's not what most people say. But if you're reaching for an overachiever, those people are connected every day. They don't turn off, but nobody writes to them on Sunday mornings, and so you catch them free. The next piece is to establish a connection, right? So you can, humans are such multidimensional, animals that you can always find something, some point of connection, right? Whether you, went to a school in the same part of the world, or you have a similar interest, or you have, root for the same team, or you like the same kind of music. And there's so much information about people online these days, particularly successful people, that you can find something to make a connection with. And people care a lot more about people that they have a connection with. It's just sort of a natural human thing to do. So the next thing to do at the beginning of any communication for me is to establish that point of connection. That gets them to pay attention. The next thing I'll do is typically focus on what it is that I can do for them. I don't go for, usually if I'm writing for them, to them, it's because, there's something I'd like them to do. But I don't start with that. I lead with what's in it for them. What is it that I can bring to the table for them? And so now they're not only do I have their attention, but I have their interest. And lastly, I end with being very specific about what it is I'd like from them. And that tends to work almost every time. I mean, it's whether it was the CEO of Verizon, of T-Mobile. I mean, there's one more trick that actually works, and that is to actually show up. Okay, so with the CEO of Sprint, Marcelo Claure, a very successful, busy guy, one of the most successful Bolivian, probably the most successful Bolivian in the world. He's now one of the top guys at SoftBank. And I wanted to meet with him when I was CEO of Qlis. And my first couple of emails did not get any response. And so finally, I sent an email saying, I'm going to be in, Kansas City, where he was based, tomorrow morning. Can we meet? And
good for you. A little guts there. Okay.
and his whole executive team showed up with him to a meeting the following morning. So that's the power of the deadline, right? It's like,
right.
It's not something you can do anytime. You have to respond right then if it's going to be tomorrow.
All right. I'm here. Let me in. I'm just going to quote somebody who I loved very much. His name is Milton Gralla, and he passed away. And he was a guy who took $20,000 and made it into a fortune of over $55 million and then sold his company. And he wanted to write a book, very much like yours, but all about business. And he would take a little pad, and in those days it was a pad and paper, and he would make notes about what meant something to somebody else. He might read it. Today we could read it all over the place in Google. We could look up people on LinkedIn. And he would send an article about what mattered to them, having nothing to do with business. I remember him sending something out to a big CEO about horses, because he knew he liked horses. That's one of the clues that you're hearing from Alex, which is relate to anyone you want to attract on their level, what is important to them. And that does make a difference. It's not so easy to do, though. So let's talk about your kids for a minute here, Alex. You've given them a lot of advice. You're giving us a lot of advice. Are they able to navigate it? Somebody once said nobody's a rock star to their kids. I think that was Rod Stewart, actually. Are they listening? Because we really want to know how to get through to our kids, too. That's another subtext of this whole book, 101 Clues to a Happy Life. It was written by a father to children. And the subtext is everybody reading it except them? I'm interested to know. How do they feel about this?
That is a really great question, Adrian. As I say somewhere in the introduction of the book, I had three teenage kids at the same time, and I survived it. And that was probably the hardest thing I ever did. Harder than starting a company or being the CEO of them. So I totally sympathize and empathize with that question. What I have found is that they come back. There is so much wisdom in language. Like I just read an article this morning on the Wall Street Journal about the evolution of language, which is a topic of interest for me. And, you know, language evolves slowly through the use of, you know, millions of people talking. And so it embodies a lot of wisdom. And so when the English language calls teenage years, the years from 13 to 19, that's not a coincidence. That's a very insightful piece of information there that says, don't worry, this thing will end once they turn 20. And it does. It really does. My daughter is now 21 and she has come around, you know, when they were 18, I remember one day my daughter put a sign on, she got angry at me for some reason. And she put a sign on her wall that listed the exact number of days until she turned 18. And in her mind,
and she could walk out the door, right?
Exactly.
She walk out the door. The door.
Right. Yeah. That sign lasted 2 or 3 days there. But by the time again, she's 20, she came back and we actually, I was very fortunate because she decided to go to a school somewhere close enough to home that I can drive an hour and have a dinner with her once a week. And so we go out to dinner every week. And it's been wonderful to see her become an amazing young adult. And yes, she has told me that she read the book and she's not somebody to blow smoke up my ass because, she's your kid, right? So I think that they do. I don't know whether the 18-year-old has read it completely yet, but I am confident the 21-year-old has.
Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about something that is endemic to every age group now, picking a career. Don't you guys go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da. When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair on my head, not my shoulder.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. The Fountain of Truth about aging, but it's getting to be really the Fountain of Truth about life. Giving you an example, we are having a wonderful webinar. It's really my first foray into giving a webinar that is not for professionals in the field of aging, but for you. And what I've been doing for 2 years is giving you information on how to get in on the webinars free of charge that geroscientists attend, that the people in the field of aging attend, and so on. But this is for you. Three keys to successful aging, how to be wealthier, healthier, and more fulfilled as you live joyously and fearlessly. And I really did work on words. You just heard my guest, Alex Becker, Dr. Alex Becker, 101 Clues to a Happy Life, saying how much words matter. And they do. I mean, we don't have, we have the Declaration of Independence. It was a declaration. It was declared. It's such an important thing. And so I worked on those words, and I hope that you will join us at this webinar. It will take place in March. We're setting a date. I know it sounds like, oh my goodness, it is already March, but don't worry about it. Go to Adrienne Berg, ADRIANABERG.com. Go to the contact section. Tell me you're interested, and you will get all the information. And of course, it is free of charge. All right. Now, I want to go back. I do want to talk about careers, Alex, but I want to also tell you that I'll be speaking a little bit about your COVID sunlight and sea effect studies in a moment. We are talking about Alex's book, 101 Clues to a Happy Life, but there is so much more to this man's contribution to our health and our life. But let's start with career. We are finding that as we age, we're looking for life purpose. And not everybody wants that life purpose to be in the world of volunteerism, or just being grandma and grandpa. I shouldn't say just, that's a big thing in my life. They really want something that might be a new career. So they're picking something, almost like your kids' age generation is picking. What did you tell them in terms of selecting a career? Because I did make an initial mistake, and I kept it for about 8 to 10 years. I became a lawyer because my father was one. You know, this is not a good reason. So tell me, how do you pick a career these days with all the vast opportunities people have?
Yeah, I made one too, Adrian. So this is a big one because we spend so much of our lives working. And so I think it's so important to make sure that you enjoy your work. So for example, when my daughter told me she wanted to go into filmmaking, you know, I did not hesitate in supporting her and saying, you know, go for whatever your heart desires, not the become a lawyer or become a this, or, you know, maximize your income potential. Because first of all, happiness matters more than income potential. And secondly, your income potential gets maximized when you do what you love. And so it's, I think it's important to do something that you will both be good at and have a good time doing. And a key part of that is learning what the daily life is like in any career you're considering. So that you choose something you love to do, not something you love to learn about. But for example, I love science, and there are aspects of doing science that I love, the hypothesizing, the theorizing, the data analysis. But the, you know, the years of experiments in a wet lab, that was not for me. And so it took doing that to realize that that was not for me. So I have had my son take what's called a Harrison assessment, which can give you a match score to any given profession. And those can be really helpful. They're in my experience, they're really good at telling you, you know, what is a good match for you professional wise. A Myers-Briggs type indicator test can also help. I found that those are accurate too. So I would take one of those early, and then don't be afraid to change. You know, life can be long, and there's opportunities to start. I mean, I've had multiple rebirths. You know, I've been a scientist, I've been an inventor, I've been an entrepreneur. I'm now an author. You know, so you can start again too.
Yeah, you know, when people talk about life purpose as we age, it's very glib. Oh, we all need a life purpose and so on. Well, first of all, have the money for it. I have to tell you, that's one of the things big on my list, is helping people have the income to find their life purpose. But if you are looking for that, even if it's in volunteering, you really should be doing something where the moments of your life are spent wisely. And these tests, which I have taken, by the way, later in life, much too late in life, I will say. I wish I had done it earlier, as you say. There's also a great book. It's a real old school book by Bowles, B-O-L-L-E-S. It's called What Color Is Your Parachute? And it was the original book on how to pick a career. And it does tell you a lot. So I ask, and this is one of the things in my webinars, I ask people to go back and pretend they're starting their careers for the first time. What would they do differently and that they did before? And then they could work out what they should be doing in the future, including what do they love, which is terrific. Now, the tough one. I called you, Alex, the modern Lord Chesterfield. But what Lord Chesterfield was doing, he was writing 400 letters to his illegitimate son so that he could become a gentleman and overcome this great big stigma, which was terrible in 1737. Not good. And the main thing he wanted him to do, honestly, was to choose a mate that would elevate him in society. I get the feeling that that is not the letter you would have written to your kids. How to choose a mate to elevate them in society. But you did write about how to choose a mate and go after love. What did you tell them?
I told them that that will be the most important decision of their life. And it's funny, there's a book that I read when I left for college that my mother gave me that I really liked, and it was part of my inspiration. That's Life's Little Instruction Book. And that book says that it's like, you know, choose your mate wisely. It will determine, you know, 90% of your life's, you know, happiness or misery. But then it leaves it at that and gives you no tip whatsoever as to how to do it. So I try to go beyond and give them some tips. And so I said, choose a mate that who makes you their top priority, one who you admire and find attractive, because chemistry does matter, one who loves you, one who's wise and has a good heart. You know, I think the older I get, the more I value a good heart. One who de-escalates conflict. I have a good friend who's a lawyer who, you know, divides people into the people who escalate conflict and people who de-escalate conflict. And I can tell you, it's a heck of a lot easier and more fun to live with one that de-escalates conflict. One who treats children and animals well. In my case, one who loves music and enjoys your song, no matter its quote unquote quality. one who gives you a peace and enjoys a good meal, one who loves to make love to you, but who also simply loves to just cuddle with you, one who laughs at your jokes and likes being touched by you, one who appreciates what you value, one who tells you that they love you, one who supports you and encourages you in your pursuits. That's so important because those pursuits start off as very fragile, just like a small child. And if they get squashed too early, they never see the light of day. And one who makes you a better person. I have a theory of personality. We tend to think of personality as a quality of a person. I think that personality is actually a quality of a person in a social context, and particularly in the context of their couple. And so the right partner makes you a better person.
This is beautiful. Yeah. This is like a poem, like what you're listing here. If we transcribed it, which we do transcribe all of our shows, we could just take that out and make a poem out of it. It's beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. I do like to write poetry.
Oh, see, there you go. You do it even in prose. Of course, I'm married 52 years. And people always ask, I just went to my daughter's wedding. She just got married. They want to know, how do you, and I always say, just keep drinking. So I'm not such a poet as you are, Alex. We have a poet here. All right, we'll be back in just a moment. And I want to go a little bit deeper into something that does not have to do with your book, which is your paper that was so influential on vitamin D and sunlight and its effect on COVID, and how we're kind of biohacking more in a good way than ever before by knowing these scientific bases of being healthier and being and switching from illness to wellness. Don't you guys go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da. When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair on my head, not my shoulder.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. A little bit of housekeeping. For those of you who have told me, because we just talked with the author of 101 Clues to a Happy Life, Alex Becker, about career. For those of you who've told me that you really don't want to work anymore, and yet you miss the workplace setting. Now it's COVID, so there is no workplace setting. Most people are working from home, but there will be. That will continue, and at least there's the camaraderie of a workplace, even through Zoom meetings. There is a very important organization you should know about, and it's called Encore, E-N-C-O-R-E. It is a nonprofit. It's encore.org that you're going to look at. And aside from wonderful webinars and education about ageism and how to kill ageism and what to do, they offer a program almost everywhere in the U.S. for part-time people who were very successful in their careers, loved to be in management or whatever they were doing. I don't even want to limit it. But flexible work, it's not top dollar, but it's not volunteer either. So you are making money while doing what you love in flex time. And that's so important to many of you out there. Some for extra dollars, but most for extra life fulfillment. So if you don't know about Encore, that is one of the great resources of successful aging. Another great resource is a fellow we're talking to right now, Alex Becker, 101 Clues to a Happy Life, Become a Better Partner, Parent, and Person. Now, one of the things that Dr. Alex, because he is a PhD, has 11 patents. We talked about Drisit, which is going to be available to the public, where you can actually use a drone to go anywhere in the world from your armchair. And there used to be a book, wonderful book, actually it's a movie too, called The Accidental Tourist. So you can be an accidental tourist, you'll enjoy it. But the other thing, you know, this is a guy who gets attention. We talked about that. And he puts his 2 cents in wherever he thinks it's valuable. And it's very valuable. So he did write a paper on sunlight, vitamin D, and the effect on the immunity system during COVID, which we talk about a lot, the immune system. So what prompted this report? You shared your research, and it's been confirmed. So what did you find that really could help us with our own immune systems?
So it started when I saw a map that was published very early in the pandemic showing the places where COVID had first emerged, all were around a pretty narrow latitude band, Wuhan, the north of Italy. And so there was some speculation about whether there was a temperature effect on COVID. And I started looking into that and having discussions with some of my sort of Caltech colleagues on a Facebook group. And so the idea came up, maybe this is not temperature, it's sunlight. And so I decided to write some computer programs and, you know, grab the data from where, how fast COVID was growing in each city and country in the world, and look to see whether sunlight was a determinant. And I very quickly found that there was a huge correlation between the sunlight and the rate at which COVID was growing, not only in infections, but in death. So both the probability of getting sick and then how sick people got. And it's a huge effect. It's you know, it's even bigger. I mean, early in the pandemic, when there were governments that were doing everything right and governments that were doing everything wrong, the thing that mattered most was, were you in a sunny place or were you in a dark place? In fact, Wuhan had its darkest winter in recorded history when the pandemic emerged. And when you think about it, this is a virus that comes from the bat. It, you know, it's used to being in darkness, and so it has not evolved to survive sunlight. In fact, it's an RNA virus, which means it's a single-stranded virus. These viruses are notoriously liable to ultraviolet radiation. They don't have the stability that comes from double-stranded nucleic acids such as DNA. And so the first thing that happens is that sunlight itself destroys the virus. And so that's the first effect of sunlight. But then as I looked further into it, I also saw that there was a second effect through sunlight's effect on the human body, and that's vitamin D production. And it turns out that this is mostly a pandemic of vitamin D deficiency. Most people that are far from the equator are vitamin D deficient. Unless they take supplementation, they're vitamin D deficient during the winter months. And, you know, even places as far south as Los Angeles, where I live, you still don't get enough, you know, sunlight that's vertical enough to make a difference, let alone the life we lead indoors that gives us even less sunlight. And so that was particularly important to notice, because the first recommendation everybody got when the pandemic started was stay indoors. And that makes your vitamin D deficiency even worse.
Particularly if you were older and you were in assisted living communities or a nursing home, you were practically a prisoner.
Absolutely.
They may as well put you in an oublier the way they did in France, you know, during the revolution. They put you in a hole and they left you there. That's what happened. Terrible.
Correct. And so I wrote back in, you know, April of 2020, you know, what people need to do is, you know, spend more time outdoors in the sunlight, go to sunnier places and weather out the pandemic in the sun. And that's the reason that, you know, even with much less health research, many less health resources, places like Africa and the Caribbean have fared much better with the pandemic because they have the sunlight. And then I followed up by that by looking at, you know, early on, it became clear that Black people were getting, you know, like African Americans were getting more subject, you know, they were getting a worse time during COVID.
Yes.
And it turns out it's the same reason. They have higher incidences of vitamin D deficiency because they have darker skin. They need more sun to produce the same amount of vitamin D. And so you saw that the effect, you know, how much African Americans got affected by it depended on the latitude. You know, it was much worse in Michigan than it was in Florida or the South, for example. And then the press lumped at the time Latinos and African Americans as if it was all sort of just a problem of minorities. And it really wasn't. I found my data showed that they had inverse effects. Latinos were actually more resistant to COVID. And my hypothesis was that that's because Latinos on average tend to get more sunlight. I was born and raised in Argentina, so I'm speaking as a Latino. You know, we spend a lot of time outdoors. It's part of our culture, let alone a lot of the, you know, professions in Southern California that people, you know, Latinos are outdoors. And sure enough, I found evidence, and you can look at it. You're going to laugh at this one. So when you look at the falls of people of different races, those have been subdivided between falls indoors and falls outdoors. as a scientist, when you're trying to, there's two ways to confirm a hypothesis. One is to go run your own experiment. That takes a really long time. The other one is to find somebody who has already done an experiment that contains the data you're looking for. So in this case, I found somebody who had looked at the distribution of falls, indoors versus outdoors, for each race. And sure enough, Latinos had a much greater proportion of falls outdoors versus indoors.
Because that's where they are working.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, it's so interesting about sunlight itself. I'll go very quickly. I don't want everybody who's listening from Michigan or Minnesota to say, oh, my God, I got to go south. There are reasons that people do retire in the south of this country. And they will also tell you that it's about the weather. But again, it's also about the light. But the other thing that we're doing, and this is a really new point for you, Dr. Alex, is duplicating sunlight indoors. And that does work. It works very well, and it's being used for Alzheimer's because there is something in Alzheimer's called sundowning, where people get much more anxious and it's very difficult for them to lead a normal life, even in the context of Alzheimer's, after 6 o'clock. But it wasn't 6 o'clock. It was the sun going down. And so the name that geroscientists and those in the field of aging call it, they actually call it sundowning. And it happens almost every day. So what can you do? Well, you can change the light in your room so that it's more like regular sunlight. So you see, this is all one piece. This is what I love about this show, because it brings together these strands that have to do with a successful life. So let's finish here. We're speaking with Dr. Alex Becker, 101 Clues to a Happy Life, How to Become a Better Partner, Parent, and Person. And yet, even with this book, a book written for his children, but important to all of us, we get back to all of our own ideas that we've talked about for 3 years now. And that is, successful aging is like a success in anything else. There are many, many parts to it. So thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Adrian. It's a real pleasure. And by the way, aging is I have a TEDx talk that talks about how aging is actually adaptive, and it's sort of good for our families and our genes. So you may want to check that out.
I will check it out. And that's another thing I didn't even mention, that this is a multiple TEDx talker. I have to read your section on jealousy so that I can get over that one, because he's a multiple TEDx talker. And for everybody else, you know what I'm going to say? Get out there, kids, and make it happen. I'm inappropriate.